The sun will come out today.
Tomorrow. Oh.
No, today, bitch. We're tomorrow
what,
for what other
were you
people.
About to say? What were you about to say?
I was saying,
what were you about to say?
Today.
We're alive?
No, you about to, no, I'm saying it's
oh,
out.
The I was sun, supposed to be like, bitch, of course we're alive.
The sun will come out today because it's a ray of sunshine when I enter a room.
Well, sure.
You don't think? No? You don't think I'm a ray of sunshine?
Okay.
I'm not, actually. Sure. No, sometimes I, sometimes I'm like an Eeyore, little cloud. Did he ever have a cloud? Did he have a cloud over his head? Or was he just mopey?
I think a lot of the times, a lot of the animation on like shirts and stuff would have like a cloud over him just because he's like gloomy all the time.
Is that like Mandela effect? Like,
no.
Because I'm like,
no.
I feel like I remember him having a rain cloud.
No. Stop trying to make Mandela effects happen. They're not going to happen. Stop. Stop. Some people be wild. I'm like, listen, just
I mean,
because
you
have,
like
have a terrible memory doesn't mean that it's a Mandela effect. It's.
But I'm sure there's like a Mandela effect that you think of that you're like, oh, like I believe you believe in this Mandela. Like, don't you believe in the Fruit of the Loom, like the cornucopia Mandela effect? Was there or was there not a cornucopia?
There wasn't. There wasn't.
Interesting.
There wasn't.
Very interesting. I specifically remember there being one.
See, here's the thing. What I think happens is our brain suggests things that obviously seem correct. Like a cornucopia being with all the fruit kind of makes sense, you know? Like, why wouldn't they put... Like, it's
logically,
not... It wasn't there, but like, if it was there, it does make... It's not out of place, if that makes sense. So I think your brain kind of is like, yeah, like it kind of makes, but yeah, like no. Now there are some Mandela effects that you're like, whoa, okay.
Curious George, did he have a tail? Yes or no?
He didn't have a tail.
He didn't. What's the, I'm trying to think of like the other ones. Is it like Fruit of the Loom? No, not Fruit of the Loom. We just said that.
Yeah.
Fruit Loops.
Oh.
Is it F-R-U-I-T or is it F-R-O-O-T?
I'm sorry, what?
Fruit Loops.
Huh?
Yeah, like the cereal?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I just didn't hear which one do you know of which one is the correct way? Is it is it F-R-U-I-T, like a, you know, like a fruit?
Uh-huh.
Or is it F-R-O-O-T?
Isn't it O-O-T because it's supposed to match the loops? No?
Yeah, it is Fruit Loops, like double O, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying because like, some people swear like, oh, it's like fruit. Like
again, it's like because obviously you assume it's gonna be spelled as fruit,
isn't it? I think there was also another one where it's like Pikachu. I think it's like Pikachu. Did Pikachu have the black end? Was it like a black end right on its tail?
Something about its tail. Yeah.
Like, did it have some stripes or some color on its tail? And no, it doesn't. It doesn't have anything.
Okay, here's a popular one. The Britney Spears headset thing on the Oops, I Did It Again.
Oh, yeah.
Did she have a headset
I've
or not?
I heard that one.
Did she have a headset? What do you remember?
I honestly, I don't think that was one I really paid attention to a lot because I didn't watch a lot of Britney. But I know like of the memes of like the pop star like with the headset. And I feel like that always kind of like was rooted with like Britney. So like I would say, yeah, right? She had like a headset. Did she not?
I don't remember her having a headset. But like
she never performed.
Well, I mean, she performed. That's the thing. If people are taking,
I mean, because it would also make sense because she does choreography. So like, wouldn't it make sense? Like,
but like in the music video, why would she need a headset if she's lip syncing for her life? You know, she's a lip sync. We all know they're lip syncing in the music videos. So like, why the need of a headset?
Well,
I get
like a
live
when you're performing. Yeah, I would say when you're performing
like a live performance, it makes sense. But like, people are saying that in the music video, she had a headset on.
Right.
But then people took like to the internet and were like, "Oh, well, the dolls had a headset." I'm like, but we can't really go based off like, yes, I guess kind of. But then also like, if it's a doll, I guess I can see why the doll makers would add a headset to add to the little extra, like, oh, she's a pop star, you know?
They'd
but
really
like,
sell it.
Right, but it's not really, like, a carbon copy of, like, what she looked like in the music video.
Yeah. Mm.
There's also the Looney Tunes and Looney Tunes, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've heard of those. Oh, bitch, there's, like, the... Okay, I looked this up because I was like, okay, popular ones. Monopoly, the Monopoly Man. Did he or did he not have a monocle?
he did not.
I think that I feel like he did. I think it says the official answer is that he doesn't, but I swear to God, I feel like he did.
You know who you're confusing him with? And I feel like that's kind of what's happening with the Six Flags.
Some
man.
Other old rich the white six, man?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. The Six Flags man. The old man.
The fuck? Why would... Huh?
No?
I need you to... No. What? I'm like... I'm over here gagging and I don't gag easily. I'm like, what? Like... No.
No,
like,
he was or just maybe,
dancing
or,
around. He wore a maybe, suit.
Or maybe the Pringles? Because the Pringles head has a little monocle or hat. Did he not?
No, he never had it. It's always been like the face with the mustache.
Okay, well then, I don't
looks
know.
Looks like the Monopoly guy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Looks like the Monopoly guy, but yeah. Not. Okay, well then, I don't know. You
wrong,
know?
Wrong Caucasian man.
Rock. Well, I mean, we have so many.
I feel like they kind of look similar between, now that I really think about it, like between the Monopoly man, who do we just say? Oh, the Pringles
mm-hmm.
character
mm-hmm.
and Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
They all...
Maybe that's also another one they're confusing it. Doesn't Colonel Sanders have a...
He wears glasses.
Oh. Well, see, maybe that's why. No?
I think he wears glasses to, like... It's supposed to sell that... What's that? I don't know. I haven't taken an English class in a long time. But it's that thing about, like, looking like authority. And it's like, Colonel Sanders probably wears glasses to make it like, oh, like,
yeah.
Believe me when I say that this is the best... fucking chicken
that,
out there
that and it's like he's a colonel, you know,
huh?
Like military
believe, yeah
yeah
like believe yeah
yeah
like why would
like I'm an authority, you know.
Was that deemed to like appeal to like military folk or like conservative, but like, oh, he's military, he's a colonel, like why would you not trust what the colonel says? Like
I don't think it's particularly just for the military. I think just people in general, they respect authority. So, you know?
Yeah. Very, like, Cartman attitude.
Respect
but, like,
my authority.
You respect my authority.
My authorities.
Do you respect my authority, Franco?
No. I don't even think you respect your authority.
I don't. Listen, I'm acknowledging that here at Closet
You're a
Takes...
dumb bitch.
Here at Closet Takes, I am the personality hire because I...
the personality
Franco, because
that's wild.
I'm here for like the culture and like the vibes and like here to make everything, you know, a little bit more fun because like I showed up today and Franco had his, you know, he's got his like stuff. Franco's very like prepared. I was about to say anal, but like no, you're anal in another way, but like he likes to be prepared.
Yeah.
And like he'll like sometimes have like a general outline or stuff and I'm just kind of like I just show up like la-di-da-di-da.
Honestly,
I'm like Bubbles.
Honestly.
I'm like, I'm going to be the prettiest girl at the party.
Right. Exactly.
Like, I just show up. I walk in. I'm like, here's coffee.
Yeah. Honestly. Which, by the way, great coffee. Thanks. Walked in with coffee and it was amazing. So thank
okay,
you.
That does something about coffee. That knows a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Pat myself on the back.
Mm-hmm. I mean... I wanna talk about kind of like where we're at in the world right now because bitch, it's 2024. We are what 3 months into the year.
The year of truth.
And 3 months.
Three,
I mean, it feels like 3 years into the year, but 3 months into the year of truth and wild.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking wild.
It's honestly like let's recategorize this and be like, okay, this is the year. I'm gonna say gays are living because it's like this is the year of tea, bitch. Like tea, the absolute fucking
look
most.
Listen, it's wild to me how much shit is like hitting the fan. For once, the astrology bitches were like right, because you know, like. I saw that this
year...
Have
you already been hearing about the year of truth?
I had been hearing about the year of truth in 2023. And I had been hearing that 2024 was going to be a big year and that was going to be the year of truth and that a lot of shit was going to come to light, blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, okay. And here's the thing. I'm over here thinking like, oh, like this is going to be my year too because the astrology bitches said the Capricorn was on the rise. So I was like, okay, bitch. So it's the year of truth, but then the Capricorn's on the rise. So great. But so far, I've only seen the first half. the year of truth. I haven't seen the rise of the Capricorn.
Yeah.
But
like, when do I rise? Do I live?
When do I start rising like the dough? You know? But yeah, I mean, it's been 3 months and it's been wild so far. Like, a lot of shit has come out.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, where do you even start? Because, like, okay, first, I think this has, like, been coming up with Cat Williams and what's her name? Monique. Yeah. You see Monique, too, right? Yeah. Like, Monique. I forget what her last name is. I mean, she just goes by Monique.
Do we need to say anything else?
No, I was like, no, that's Mo. No, so they kind of started out with just kind of, like, I mean, they've been doing this, though, for a long time, especially, like, Monique. I think not so much Cat Williams as far as, like, what I've personally, like, kept up with.
Yeah.
But I know that Monique has been, like, an advocate for, like, years.
Yeah.
For, like, kind of, like, talking about, you know, being a person of color, but particularly, like, being Black in, like, the Hollywood industry and mm-hmm. how crazy it is. But, like, her and Cat Williams have just been, like, dropping, like, these people. Like, they're not... Like, what they look like or what, you know, you see and, like, the person that they are, like, behind the whole scene and everything. It's, yeah. like, those are totally, like, different things.
Right.
And, they were... Cat Williams was not lying.
Listen.
Not lying at all. I mean, look at, like... Because he's someone, like, within Hollywood and, like, even just after, like, a little bit after that he started revealing a lot of this stuff... Like, we get stuff like the quiet on set and, like, get a little glimpse of, like, what it's like to be working as a child, like, behind mm-hmm. the scenes of, like, all mm-hmm. of this stuff. And, like, honestly, like, I watched it. I watched the whole thing straight through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, I was just gagged, like, every episode. Like, I was truly just, like, every time that it would end, I'd just be, like, mouth agape. I'd be, like, what the fuck?
I was a little gagged, not super gagged, because there had already been talk.
About
of Dan Schneider and mm-hmm. this whole thing and how weird he was and like the, all the shit, like all the things, like yeah. the biggest thing was the foot thing, bitch. Right. The foot thing was the biggest thing that was like standing out, you know?
Yeah.
So I wasn't as gagged.
Well,
but
yeah.
But I think every episode I was like, how is he not in jail?
Yeah, right. I think it was just like the fact that like, you know, as a viewer, like, first of all, like millennials and for the most part, like I think everybody, it's no like secret that mm-hmm. Dan Schneider is like a piece of shit. And like, because yeah. like people have been hearing things about him for like a while, but yeah. particularly within like the last like 8 or so years.
Yeah.
And I think it's just crazy to think that like so many things just kind of like went under the radar
mm-hmm.
and not even under the radar, bitch, because like I was gonna it's like sonar, bitch, like you know yeah. those submarines, like yeah. when you see like the little dots come up on the sonar thing mm-hmm. like bitch, like the dots were everywhere, like you could see
yeah
literally everything, like because like I said, it's nobody's secret, like it's no secret that like he did a lot of terrible things on set. But like I think it's just the fact that like we're having like open conversations about mm-hmm. like Hollywood and everything,
right?
And I mean, again, like, people know that shit goes down in Hollywood, but it's also the fact that, like, well, nobody also really says anything to really, like, dismantle the system.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're keeping up the system by, like, not being able to, like, actually hold anybody accountable.
Right.
I mean, I think, like, I don't know. Like, I think we were, like, obviously, like, nostalgia has been a huge thing. Like,
yeah.
everybody is, like, all about nostalgia and, like, wanting to, like, reminisce and things like that. But I think it was, like, I don't know. Like, how did you feel about, like, just, like, watching it and then, like, remembering, watch like, when they would play clips and then be like, mm-hmm. oh, like, here's this scene. And then, like, you laughed about it. And then, like, now, like, rewatching it and, yeah. like, somebody's talking about, like, what they went through behind that. Just, like...
Yeah. I honestly, I don't think any of the scenes they showed really stood out to me as like a thing I really cracked up about.
Mm-hmm.
I did mention to you before, I was like, I do remember watching this show and I was like, this sketch is a little weird. It's a little too dumb. I was like, but it was like dumb for what, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is weird. Like, I should be laughing, but it feels weird to laugh, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was just me as a kid, right? Like identifying that it felt weird. But I was like, well, people are laughing, so I guess it's funny.
Yeah.
But it felt weird to laugh, if that makes sense. So just watching back all these things, like, I'm just like, damn, it's wild.
Yeah.
Like, even like, you know, like, let's start getting into a little bit of it. Like, some of the cum shots, some of the like things, like
the insinuation
of the cum shots, you know?
Yeah. That was crazy because I was like, okay, like we're not going to act and be like, you know, that there haven't been like adult jokes in grown up, you know, or like in like animated movies.
Animated or even in animation in cartoons.
Yeah.
Fairly Odd Parents, Cat Dog, any of the early 90s, they had a lot of sexual innuendos and
a joke that was like kind of like hidden in dialogue,
right?
It wasn't necessarily like, hey, here's an action,
yeah,
and like, you know, we're insinuating like something, you know. So like that's it's just like the way that it was done. And yeah, it was kind of like weirdish, but I mean, it kind of like is so weird to be like looking at like what is like the block of shows that I really enjoyed as a kid, like, you know, they were talking about like all that. And like Amanda Bynes show, like, which I fucking like, I lived for those shows, bitch. it's no shocker. I mean, I'm sure like one of millions of kids who were like, oh my god, like All That, like that would look like so much fun, because it's like it's a kid show. It looks like it's a show run by kids.
Yeah, it was like they said, they described it on the Quiet On Set. They said it was like a kid SNL,
right?
Which it was, like it was a skit show,
mm-hmm.
which was very similar to what the Amanda show was. It was also a skit show, you know.
Yeah.
I remember watching All That, and I remember watching the Amanda show, and I was like, man, like this is great, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean, it was like everything that you can kind of think of with like sexism from, you know, being a female writer, like the female writers like went through a hard time.
Yeah.
Fucking like having to split a salary,
bitch.
That, oh no, like I would have just like, I would have lost it.
Yeah.
But like, I do understand like for the time and the, like, again, it's like, unfortunately, it's like a common practice with like Hollywood. It's like, you know, or like with any opportunity, I think that people get, it's like if you have an opportunity to get into your field and get a foot in the door.
Yeah.
Like you're probably going to take less than what you know you're probably worth.
Yeah.
Just to like get your foot in the door and like get started.
Of course. I mean, literally the women in the documentary were like, you know, like, yes, it was a paid like a shared salary, but I was doing what I like to do, and it was no longer like a temp job. It was like an actual full-time job kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can see, like, obviously we, like, I understand why they took it, but it's wild. What's wild to me is that he was able to get away with it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense with the time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
like, stuff could not be as widespread. Like it wasn't as simple as like, you know, if somebody had like got treated like shit by their boss today and were like, oh, like let me tweet about it, that tweet goes viral, and mm-hmm. then it like hits news stations, and you know, like then all of a sudden it's like, okay, like it got around in like less than a day.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, it tracks out that like, you know, shit just didn't catch on until later.
I mean,
on,
and
you know?
To be honest, like even now it's still, for like women's pay is still not fair. So it's like, while it was wild for it to happen back then, like it's still happening today.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not as obvious and not as like, well, you're taking a pay cut and this is that and that's that, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
It's more, I think it's more like hidden and more well disguised, but it's still happening, you know. And I think that that's still part of like the fight that we still have, is like, obviously, you know, women got the right to vote, but it's like, well, they're still not seen as equal because they're still not equal in anything, in any, to any capacity. Bitch, I literally just saw the Barbie movie, and just like them, like in the movie, it just shows like, you know, like how women are not even respected like in any type of job. And it's like, that's wild. Yeah. So, you know, those women taking that double salary, just like, it checks out for the 90s. Like, it just checks out.
Yeah. I mean, we're still having like discussions like that about like bridging the gap. mm-hmm. between like pay and right. you know, equality and stuff. So like I definitely see how that was like a lot worse, mm-hmm. you know, back then.
Yeah.
But like, do you think like after like watching this whole like Quiet on Set thing and hearing from like some of the actors, I mean, I feel like it's kind of changed my, I mean, I haven't actively watched like some of those shows, like I haven't watched like All That or the Amanda Bynes show, mm-hmm. but like, you know, every now and again, I think about it, like especially Amanda Bynes show. I watched like that more religiously than yeah. All That.
Yeah.
But like, even like just thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know. It just feels like something. I was like, oh, like, I don't know. Like, this feels kind of weird now. Like,
it definitely feels like it's been tainted. Something
like,
you know,
stained. Like it's,
you know,
yeah. Like I can't
and
describe.
It's not
you.
To say it's a bad thing. I think it's just kind of like, now it's kind of hard to enjoy something that obviously made a lot of people laugh, you know, for yeah. while they did have some wild things in there, there was also some things that were just like, just funny, you know, just,
yeah.
And I think that it's a little bit, it's harder to watch, I think now. And I mean, for me, it's kind of been hard to watch because of the fact that people had been saying shit like that,
right?
And like yeah. looking back at some of those scenes, like even sometimes when I would sit and watch, I'd be like, damn, like that's weird, that's some weird shit. And this is the thing, I didn't even watch Victorious like that. I wouldn't say I watched it religiously.
I didn't watch it religiously, but I did
watch a few episodes,
yeah.
And even some of those scenes, some of those stuff were kind of weird to me. And then I remember like the video of like Dan coming up on behind Ariana Grande and the other,
and they're like sitting like, on the floor,
yeah,
right?
And like she like taps her like to get up and stuff, and just a lot of those videos that surfaced and all that stuff, like it was just weird. So it's kind of felt weird to watch for a while,
yeah.
But I think now with like confirmation of everything and kind of just everything that people went through, it's like, damn, that's.
I'm just wondering, like, if like Paramount, or because you know there's Paramount Plus, right, which mm-hmm. like has the whole block of like Nickelodeon shows, yeah. So like I wonder if they're gonna do something like, I guess kind of like Drag Race. Oh. You know how Drag Race with the Sherry Pie edit,
yeah.
they kind of like started adding disclaimers in the beginning,
yeah.
kind of like, you know,
yeah.
this, you know, kind of like just explaining the context, like I wonder if they're gonna do something similar like that with like Dan Schneider, but like, you know, Dan Schneider no longer works with Nickelodeon, or like, you know, we don't support any of his actions, mm-hmm. blah 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 blah. But you know, that might even look worse because it's like, well, you guys kind of knew, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no way
yeah,
like somebody who's like a head like producer, head writer, like over running the whole show, mm-hmm. like you're not gonna tell me at all,
you didn't even hear a rumor
that, yeah, like you didn't hear like a whisper, yeah. or like anything,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
So like I refuse to believe that they didn't know. So that's why I'm saying, like, even if they did do that, I think it could probably even make it worse, because it's like, well, you guys never like acted or mm-hmm. did anything,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. And I think it was in that documentary that I realized that he was a big shot, you know. And it kind of made sense how he was able to get away with it, because at the time, like they said, they were competing with Disney, and like Dan was the one that was like writing like all this great show. So it's like, this is how we keep up with Disney.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just how he got away with a lot of these things, it still baffles me. Like I said, the whole thing with the women and how he treated women in general.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I got from the show was like, or from the Quiet on Set, was like the guys talk about like, yeah, there was weird shit, but they never felt weird around Dan because they were guys.
Yeah.
You know? But however, when you see a lot of the female cast or even female workers,
mm-hmm.
they have a whole other like perspective and image of Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There was like that girl, her name was Katrina Johnson, which I actually remembered her. I remember like she was one of the younger cast members on All That. She was like one of the girls. And like she was talking about all this stuff about like how they would tell her like, oh, like she's getting like, you're getting fat,
yeah,
and you need to like like you need to like lose weight, and like we already have a fat girl, so yeah. you can't be the fat girl. And I'm like, that is fucking like,
yeah,
just like this is like a child,
yeah.
And like the way that you can just like feel free to kind of just express that to a child. I'm like, yeah. Do you like not like yeah. work with children yeah. at all?
Do you not I mean, know? I will say, I don't think it was expressed to her. I think she was in the room when it was expressed to her parents. Mm-hmm. But still, the fact that you had the audacity to sit there with the parent and be like, yo, your kid's getting fat. Yeah. Don't let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, wild. And I will say, I don't think it stopped. I think it's still going on, you know, in yeah. it behind the scenes. And there is still, you know, people being told like, you're too fat. Like, you're too.
Bitch. We're going to talk about, okay, again, like, you guys need to watch the whole thing, like, watch the whole Quiet on Set thing. But there was a particular moment in this documentary that absolutely, like, honestly, one of the most shocking fucking moments was when one of the guys, one of the cast members from All That talked about how they went to one of the producers' like house or something for yes. a party. Like, yes. I guess they were having somebody's party. I don't know. It was an event.
So,
and you got it? You remember?
No, let me add this. So this isn't just any producer. This is actually Brian Peck.
Was it Brian Peck?
It was Brian Peck. Okay. So go ahead. Continue.
So
we'll
Brian
get into
Peck,
this bitch in a
Brian
little bit.
Brian Peck invited the cast to, and this was like no parents. I think they said like no parents.
No, parents were there.
They were, okay. Parents but they were like there. Separated, right?
Nope, or something. Parents were there.
Okay. Fuck. And he took the kids and he showed them a fucking picture or like a painting or something.
Yeah.
From John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah. That was signed.
And like had like him. a little note at the end.
Yeah. Signed to him.
Yeah.
You know, saying whatever, your friend John Wayne Gacy.
Which, notorious serial killer, if yeah. anybody out there who didn't know, like, he killed a couple
Children,
dozen. Yeah,
boys.
Like, young men and boys.
Yeah. Hello. And this is the thing. This is another discourse that's kind of been happening on TikTok and all this shit with, like, the whole thing coming out, right? So let me add to that. So the boy was walking around his little area, like his,
yeah,
because he had like a shrine room kind of thing. So the guy that was walking around, I forgot what his name was, but he was walking around, saw the painting. Brian Peck realized that, like, he was looking at it. He's like, oh yeah, like, check it out, like, da, 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 like, super excited to show it off.
Uh-huh.
And he says that I guess parents also came and saw that. They so it wasn't just him that saw the painting, like,
that's
everybody
fucking
saw.
Crazy, like,
and like, to me, kind of like I said, the discourse that's going on is like, why weren't the parents saying anything?
Was John Wayne Gacy, was he like the 80s or like early 90s? Because I'm like, this wasn't. Because I'm like,
80s, yeah.
That was still pretty like
recent.
Relevant to, yeah. I would say like for the time.
I mean,
like,
he
that
was alive.
That was like
with.
A recent event.
Yeah.
Like for the time. Like,
yeah.
He was pretty known.
Yeah.
Like. Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Like, this is the, I was like,
okay. Because it's like one thing for like people on set to not speak up.
Right.
And it was another thing for like parents mm-hmm. to ignore, mm-hmm. actively ignore yeah. so many things.
Yeah.
Like there was that one lady who talked about her daughter and how like, she got her daughter, like,
no.
her daughter was what, like 8 years old,
yes.
at the time,
yeah,
and like she got basically
a nude
from yeah. one of the producers yeah. or like assistants on the set or
yeah.
something, and was like, oh, like it was him like masturbating, and was like, oh, like I wanted to show you that I was like thinking about you,
yeah,
and then she had the nerve to be like, I debated calling the police.
I didn't know whether to call it. Bitch, what? Hello. Hello? Is this thing on?
Hello? Closet?
Hello? Hello?
Like, I had to, like, take a
Baby,
step back. I'm like, did you just say debate? Like let me look up the definition of, like, yeah. flips through Webster's of, like, debate. Does it
listen.
Mean the same thing that I am thinking of
listen,
here?
Listen.
Listen, Linda.
I get it because, like, here's the thing. Like, I'm not sympathizing with her. I'm dragging her, but I also get why she kind of debated it, right? Because a lot of the times they don't believe the victim, right?
Right.
However, you had proof.
Straight in the inbox.
Straight in the inbox. images of him.
Like, and you can't deny it. Like, if you print that shit out, but, like, is this or is this not you?
Right. Is it, is it not you? Bitch, is this not your email? Is this not you messaging my daughter?
Right, yeah.
And if you think about it, like, she did talk about, like, she was debating it because, like, obviously, like, her career and like, how is this even a discussion of, like, what, like, but, you putting it on a scale?
But, you know, I like, rewatched it, and, or at least, like, you know, her part, and greed. Because she talked about, like, her background and how, like, yeah. Oh, like, I wanted to be, like, on TV. Yeah. I wanted to be a star.
Exactly.
I've always loved, like, TV and film, but, like, my parents didn't want anything.
Baby, this is her, this is a parent living through their kid.
I hate, that's it. Ooh. Like, this is, like, something that I, like, can't stand about parents.
Listen, we've talked about this shit, like, parents living through their kids, and then this is why they get so disappointed when shit goes south. Now, I don't want to say south because it's not even going south. It's like, this is what happens when your child decides not to do something you thought you wanted them to do.
Right.
You know? It's like, again, kind of what we mentioned before, stop putting expectations on your kids that when they don't meet them, then you get disappointed on expectations that you set on them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, that parent was living through her child and literally was like, oh, well, this could ruin her career. So now I'm debating, should I say something? Should I not say something?
Yeah, like, if I say something, like, she'll probably never work in Hollywood again.
Right. And it's like, bitch, fuck that.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, you know, like, the same thing that happens in the music industry where, like, you know, music artists get, like, blackballed where, like, they can't, you know, they don't get played on the radio or, yeah. like, they get suppressed. It's like the same thing happens in, like, Hollywood with acting. Yeah. It's like, yeah. we're not going to deny that that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, well, you know, if you refuse to partake in something, it's like, well, that's kind of just the cost.
Yeah.
And, like, it just, like, baffles me that, like, somebody will have a kid. And then, like, again, we've kind of talked about it where, like, people have kids for selfish reasons. Never, exactly. I like, it's like rare when somebody is like, you know, yeah, like, I want a kid to bring them into this world for them to be like their own individual, you know, like, and like have their own thing, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Talking crazy?
No, so like the reason why I was making that face because I want to say something wild, but I don't want to make it. I don't believe.
Does it sound worse than?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay,
Go and say it and we'll talk.
I don't believe parents ever have the decision of like, oh, I don't think it ever crosses their mind of like, oh, I want to have a kid because I want them to be the best self they can be. I think they just think like, I want to have a kid because I want to have a kid. I want to be a parent.
I want to have a family.
Right.
But it's like, I want to have it. Like,
right.
You know?
I don't think anybody sits there and be like, I want to have a kid because I want to bring someone into the world that they're going to be whoever they want to be and they're going to be happy and I want to raise a happy individual.
Yeah.
Now, hear me out. I'm not saying that that's not what they eventually think because some parents will.
You know, careful, Franco. You're going to get 1 million moms on you.
Come for me.
1 million moms coming for closet.
It's fine. I handled my own mom. I think I can handle a few other ones. Thanks. Here's the thing. I'm not saying eventually down the line you're not like, oh, I am gonna raise a great individual. And yes, like I think some parents will eventually, you know, not eventually, but I think as they are pregnant, they grow love for the kid and like, oh, like whatever my kid wants is like, I really want the best for him. Right. Like they do eventually get there, but I don't think their initial thought of like, I'm gonna get pregnant is like, I'm gonna get pregnant to raise a very strong individual person who grows up to be whatever he wants to be.
Yeah.
No. I think it's time to pop out a kid. I want a family. I don't think ever in their mind does it cross like, I want a baby because of unselfish reasons.
Yeah.
It's always a selfish reason. It's always like, it's about time I start a family. I want a kid. They get baby fever or in most cases end up pregnant by accident.
Yep. And that's why our birth rates are now lower. Or like, yeah, our birth rate is lower than our death rate.
Yeah. Because people are now thinking about it. Because it's something you should be thinking about. It's not some decision that you should make on a whim or like by accident. Like if it happens that you do get pregnant, great. It's nothing wrong. However, it is also a big responsibility that you need to think about whether you're ready.
Yeah. And like, just even like that questioning of like, you know, does my kid really want to do this? Or is this something that I'm, again, it's like you have to take into account some self-reflection and like analyzing and be like, you know, is this something that my kid really wants to do? Or like, am I pushing?
And here's the thing. I'm not saying don't put your kids in sports. Don't put them in to do anything. Put them to do stuff. Great. However, if you see any kind of disinterest in the thing, don't be afraid to pull them out just because you want them to continue.
Yeah.
If it's something that they're not interested in, pull them out. Let them try something else. Be like, okay, you didn't like soccer. Maybe next time. Like
millions
next
of other things in this world to try.
Right. You didn't like soccer? Cool. Next summer, next spring, I don't know how things happen. Like what's the timeline? But like next semester, I was going to say next semester, but like next semester you can try like music.
Yeah.
You know, we tried a physical activity.
Like try an instrument.
Maybe
try
let's
art.
Try art. If you didn't like art, okay, maybe let's try this. Like there's different ways that you can support your kid, or not necessarily support your kid, but like, I guess, engage their brain and like expand on their interests without you forcing them to. If that makes sense, like give them the options, let them choose options that you are still contriving, I guess, the options, because you're giving them like, what do you want? Like this.
Yeah,
this.
Like I
give
think
them the
you
choices,
should, like,
and then also read like, are they continuing to be interested in this thing that I gave them the option to? And if they're not, don't hold it against them.
And like you need to like be prepared for like if it just doesn't work out, and you know, for one reason or another, and like. The fact that, I mean, she was not like the only parent going through something.
Yeah.
There were like other parents, you know, there was another kid. The mom was like saying about how, you know, she noticed a couple things and like trying to explain that to the producers and like even like the agent or like the boy's agent, her son's agent. And like the agent even told her like just kind of like suck it up and just deal with it. Like it's kind of like the industry, you know? And she felt like how, like, the outcast or the outlier, like, you know, because she would not let things slide as easily. And, like, she said that she became the oddball. She became, like...
I wouldn't say that she didn't let things slide. I think she was vocal about it, but she
still
say,
like,
let
as
things
easy.
Slide.
That's what I'm saying, like, as easy.
Yeah. Like, she still let it slide. She just mentioned it, but just didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's also one of the TikToks that I saw was a, you know, because this was a black actor.
Yeah.
You know, and this was a black mom. And like this lady, this girl on TikTok was like, listen, my black mom would not have let me stay there. She would have done this and this and this. And it's like, you understand from a person of color, like to get an opportunity to even act, to even be in something is, you know, I mean...
That in
Look,
itself
Viola
is like,
Davis,
that's a whole discussion. Like,
right.
Even have,
Viola
have,
Davis, a lot of actors talk about a lot of like
being able to get in.
Being able to get in.
I mean, look
in
at is, what is it like? Is it like best actress or something for like an Oscar?
Yeah.
Is like Halle Berry was like, that was like a huge deal when she didn't win until like what, like 2000 something?
Yeah.
Like early 2000s. So like there are still like lots of barriers, you know?
Exactly.
And like I said, you've like other black actors and such have made that known.
Yeah.
You know?
And again,
so you kind of have to understand from
understanding
that perspective.
That perspective, yes, but also, like, at what point do you say it's too much and like it's not worth
like your
it?
Your kid has gone through too much.
Yeah, and the girl on TikTok called her out and was like, "Listen, let's call it what it is. It was selfish. You saw the money. You saw the thing. That's what it was. It was about the money."
And again, like parents see, like, you know, they see future opportunities. It's like the longer that their kid like stays on a show, it's like, okay, like that builds up their resume.
Right.
Well, just in theory, you know, like parents will see that and like they'll like, or like they want to get their kid like, because they're on a season, you know, TV shows are on a season by season thing.
I honestly just feel, yes, while they could be thinking about the resume, I think the biggest factor here is just like the money.
But that's why I'm saying like it beefs it up so that they like have like more, like increased likelihood of like opportunities. But yeah, and like I felt bad for that girl too. The other girl, the actress that was on Amanda Bynes, the black girl.
Oh.
I remember her because, like, she would play, like, kind of like the best friend in some of the skits. And I didn't realize this until somebody pointed it out on TikTok. Like, the fact that she was, like, you remember the girls' room mm-hmm. in Amanda? That she was the angry black girl.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like I said, I haven't watched it in a while.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah, like, that is fucking, yeah. like, crazy. I'm like, yeah, they basically, like, typecast her yeah, as, like, the angry black
girl. And she was, like, the more hood one. Like, she'd kick people's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then you had the dumb white girl, like, oh, I like eggs. You know? And it was, like, typecasted her.
Yeah.
Typecasted her entirely.
Yeah. And, like, the whole thing about, like, you know, they celebrated her birthday. And, like, Dan Schneider was, like, basically, like, what the fuck? Like, why are y'all, like,
why make this a big deal? Ass a cake?
Yeah, right. Why make a big deal? Like,
could have got a small cake.
Yeah.
Dan Schneider said this could have been an email.
Yeah.
You know? And it's wild that that shit like that happened.
Yeah. That, again, in front of other
in front people, of parents.
It's like that whole, like, bystander effect.
Yeah.
It's like, I think everybody just kind of, like, looks around, scans yeah. the room, and be like, so is anybody going to say anything?
And the thing is, like, the people of color, right? They don't say nothing because obviously they're people of color. The opportunity to be able to get something like that is yeah. one in a million,
mm-hmm.
right? But then on the flip side, you have the white people. They don't say nothing because of racism.
Yeah.
They don't say nothing because of racism because it's okay to be that way. It's still prevalent now. I'm not going to act like it's not. Mm-hmm. But I think in the 90s, it was more prevalent to just be like, well, you know,
yeah.
they kind of just have to take it,
yeah.
you know, and it's kind of what the culture was. And it's like, no, like what, you know, and the fact that this was being done to a child and nobody said anything is, again, I think all those people deserve prison. Dan Schneider, biggest person that deserves prison.
Yeah.
But everybody else. Every producer, every writer, stage crew worker.
I was like, what's that term? Like co-conspirators or like accomplices?
Accomplices? Kind of thing.
Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, like y'all just really didn't say anything. And, you know, going into the last half of the Quiet on Set series, I don't know, like it got, I mean, obviously, you know, it got really heavy because the last half really goes into like the history with like Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
And Drake Bell.
Yeah.
Which, like, I don't know, like, how did you react at first, like, when, I mean, because this was teased, right? Like, this whole, like, yeah. Quiet on Set thing was teased, and, like, who was going to be talking?
Yeah.
And it ended up being, like, Drake Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, what was, like, your reaction, like, just even, like, at the tease of, like, well, what the fuck? Like, what could he have to say?
Honestly, I think I was shocked. Obviously, I mean, I don't want to say I think I was shocked, right? Because it's, like, the way the show set it up, it's like, oh, somebody got sexually abused or assaulted mm-hmm. on set, and people are like, well, who was it, like, nobody we knew, right? And like, nobody knew.
Yeah.
And then they show Drake and I'm like, wait, Drake Bell, like, really?
Yeah.
You know? And sure enough, and listen, Drake Bell has his things, obviously, but In the discussion of like what happened to him, obviously it's fucked up, right? Yeah. Like nobody should have to deal with that.
Yeah.
And the fact that he dealt with it, and the fact that there was a lot of signs and a lot of things, and the fact that the dad literally saw the signs, and that this is another thing, he was saying like, yeah, like I tried to protect them, I did my best, but like never pulled him out.
It was always just like, you know, I'm going to stand, kind of like stand guard.
Stand guard.
But it's like, right? And it's there's, like, there's always like a crack in the armor, right? Or like an opportune.
You can't always be there. You can't always be there. You can try. But again, predators like that are going to continue to test the guard, right? There has to be a crack somewhere.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he did find it. He found the weak spot. He found a way around you and did what he did. And I mean, bitch, at that point, like, again, I think the money was good. Everything was good. You know, he didn't pull him out. He should have. Yeah. Again, even if you're, even if that's your kid's biggest passion, pull him out. You know, be the bad guy for once. Be the villain.
Like, it's obviously at that time, the kid won't understand.
The kid's not going to understand, and the kid's going to hate you for it. But be the bad guy to protect you. If you really care about your kids, be the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I think this is kind of another thing that happens with parents is that they want to become the friend, the best friend, right? Like, the parents want to be friends. And I get that. Like, you want to have a great relationship with your kid, but don't let that get in the way of your judgment as a parent.
Yeah.
You know, because at the end of the day, while
it's like, it's like kind of like, what is it, like when you have like a dual relationship, let's right. say, like, you know, in our like field of work, right? You, when you have dual relationships, like where, you know, you have, if you're trying to be like, you know, an authority and a friend or whatever, mm-hmm. it's going to impair your judgment.
Exactly.
It's going to not allow you to like
fully be one or the other.
Yeah. Like, it won't allow you to kind of keep that outside perspective right. view. And so that's when you'll start like, you know, making like rationales and logical
things slide,
logical solutions where you're like, oh, you know, well, I'll just work around it this way.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. instead of just like how you said, like make the hardcore cut mm-hmm. and just be like, well, we're not going to do this anymore.
Yeah.
But like, it's,
I mean, how did you react to that? Like the fact that it was, you know, it was Drake Bell.
I know that, you know, sexual assault can, or sexual abuse can like happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. Right. But I think it's just like, it's always the, that initial shock of like, you know, what's the, what was it? The reveal behind the curtain or something like that.
Yeah.
Where, because I watched like pretty much like Drake Bell throughout like my whole childhood. Like I, you know, I watched him on like Amanda Bynes and Drake and Josh and all of those things. So like, you know, watched like a lot of his work. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just like crazy to see that like he did so much to like, you know, make people laugh and provide entertainment. And mm-hmm. then just like, I think just like seeing that. And then also like thinking like, wow, like he was like going through this, like mm-hmm. at the same time that yeah. like this was going on. So I think like it just kind of like, it really made me sad, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, you really don't know, like, especially like as a viewer, mm-hmm. like you don't know the things that go on in that. I think that's like the bigger discussion also, like people are having about, you know, like about celebrities and things like that, is that like, you know, while, you know, not every celebrity is like personable or like real.
Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes it is like having that discussion around it and being like, well, at the end of the day, like they are people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as people, we have emotions, we go through things, we don't mm-hmm. tell, sometimes, you know, we don't tell it every single thing that is going on
yeah.
in our lives,
yeah.
you know? And so I just had like a big initial, like, just like shock. Mm-hmm. And then like just hearing his story and everything, like it was just kind of crazy to see how it like, it just continued for so long.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even him like that ended up kind of calling everything out, you know?
Right.
It's like somebody else had to stand up
right.
for him.
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's the kind of thing about the cycle of abuse, is that mm-hmm. like, sometimes it's not enough for you to like, want to be out of that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, especially when you're the kid, when yeah. you're a child,
yeah.
like, you're even more so in a position of like a compromised position, right?
Yeah.
Because like, especially with like abusers, they're very like psychologically manipulative and yeah. will like degrade you or like make you feel less than, or kind of like guilt you into be like, you know, well, if you tell, then you're never going to work again and you're not going to provide for your family anymore.
Yeah. And let me add to that. Even if you're not a celebrity, even if you're not, you know, because I mean, obviously sexual abuse, sexual assault happens to normal people too, right? Not outside yeah. of that. I think another thing to just keep in mind also is that by the time your abuser is around you or already has a grasp on you, he's already done the psychological work, right?
Yeah.
To get to you. He's already done the pre-stuff, right? He's already moved his pieces. It happens,
like, without you even realizing.
Right, he's already... It's planting the seeds of trust. Like, he's been moving his pieces. And when he says, checkmate, you're done for, right? And I think that's kind of the thing that like, at that point, Drake Bell was like, there's, like, no... There's nothing. Like, yeah. That's it. You know, and he was just going through the constant abuse of having to deal with him and, like, being around his abuser. So the fact that his girlfriend's parent noticed was like,
just after phone calls, like the incessant phone calls, like that well, was like, the
I
sign.
Mean, I think it was just an opportunity that kind of came up, which was like, you know, it took a series of events for that to occur. But like her even picking up on that is a big deal, right? Because it's like she noticed something that I don't even think his mom noticed, right?
Yeah.
I don't know where Drake Bell's mom is and where she falls into all this, but clearly I feel like it probably has to do with money. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a root of, you know, a lot of things.
You know, and to the point where I don't know if she just didn't see the red flags because she was naive or she just didn't want to see them because, like, the money was good, you know? And... Again, like, I think that while, you know, the mom did fail, also the dad did too, you know, because it's like the dad kept saying, like, I didn't have a good feeling about it. I didn't have a good feeling, but then kept them in. It's like, no, like, you should have pulled them out.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's just like, it's just wild to hear, like, these kind of stories. I mean, I'm glad that we are hearing them, but, you know, you're hearing them after the fact.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it is great to be able to hear about these stories and like be able to call people out and hold them accountable, but it's also like, you know, like the damage is done already.
Yeah.
And like the cycle is still continuing and like there's nothing that's putting like there's nothing that is stopping the gears from spinning.
Yeah.
Like everything is still like constantly in motion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I mean, prevention is always better than intervention.
Right.
Like, and hearing what, like, Drake had to say, I'm just like, why are people on a... Like, if you work with kids in any capacity, in my opinion, should be a mandated reporter.
Right.
Like, because I've worked in a school. I had to, like, you know, get, like, fingerprints and, like, background and, you know, get clearance for working with kids and be a mandated reporter. I've gotten jobs with, like, you know, working in home with kids, doing therapy, also had to do like mandated reporter, get cleared.
Yeah.
I think you've worked for like Boys and Girls Club, right?
Yeah.
So like, again, you're working with kids.
Mandated reporter.
Yeah. People who are like pediatricians, physical therapists, occupational therapists, like pediatrics, they all do like mandated reporting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that needs to happen on set.
And that's the thing. That's one of the biggest discussions is that there's no protection for child actors, right?
Right.
There's just like no, I don't think there's any rules, laws, anything to protect child actors. I mean, I'm pretty sure there are some, you know, probably like about like working and even working late. I feel like there's still actors that still talk about like the long hours and the crazy, you know? But I feel like there's still work to be done within Hollywood to protect child actors because even Drew Barrymore has talked about like how being a child actor was not great.
Yeah. It's I thought terrible. About her too. I was I was like, she had been acting since like very small. So I remember she was in E.T.
Yeah. And she's talked about, and she's like, she's a big advocate for like not having children on set and like how like, it's just I not think a she's great like
talked
atmosphere.
About how like having like those being at like those Hollywood parties, those corporate Hollywood parties as a child.
Yeah.
Where there's like alcohol, there's drugs and, you know, like these executives, you know, and it's just like, how can like everything be talked about? Like everybody knows, but then there's like, there's nothing that like, again, is stopping like the system. It's like, so everybody knows.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. And like nothing is like happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I listen, I just don't think that I just don't think that people should be allowed to like just get away with this and like again have like little qualifications or like little barriers to kind of like prevent it from happening. Like I think I even said too, I was like there needs to be like a social worker or like independent, you know, like not hired by the studio. By the
studio. Yeah.
Like, you know, that to be like monitoring.
I mean, I think that when you have kids on set in general, there should be some kind of psychologist, some kind of like social worker, like keeping tabs on those kids, whether it's one kid or a whole cast of kids.
Yeah.
Especially with the cast of kids, I feel like it's important to have a psychologist, a social worker there to like monitor like how they're doing, how they're mental health is and shit like that.
Somebody was like, I saw this tweet. I was like, you know, I think I understand why some studios hire like 20 something year olds to play teenagers.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I'll like, after like hearing all that, I'm like, you know what? That really checks out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I get it. Because obviously at some point you need to have like a kid on for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, there needs to be better protections, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so that shit like this doesn't slide. And this is the thing that also upsets me about people and their discussion with Amanda Bynes. And people are like,
oh,
judging her and dragging her.
Let's talk about Amanda Bynes, please. Cause like,
because people are like, she's so weird, this and this and this. And I'm like, listen, before you open your mouth that looks like an ass and shit's coming out of it, how about you put like a cork in it and shut the hell up.
Yeah. I think even more so people had that kind of talk because I think there was a video that surfaced of her last year where she was like roaming the streets. Mm-hmm. Like somebody like had like a video with her and they're like, oh, like I'm walking with Amanda Bynes and you know, she's clearly having like an episode, you know?
Yeah.
And like the girl's just like talking so casually and like, you know, kind of like,
yeah,
like a little bit like mocking her, you know? And like, I will never, ever, ever like, hold any judgment against her because even before like all of this came out, like I didn't really like put any negative attention or like put any negativity towards like Amanda Bynes because like, again, she's kind of someone who's like, you know, like Lindsay Lohan and Macaulay Culkin, like seeing people who were child actors and like, you know, the common denominator, it's like, you know, they clearly struggle, they go through something like afterwards and like it's because of like what they had to endure.
Yeah,
like they were children, you know, in an industry that like used them up and spit them out.
Yeah, and exposed them to certain things.
Right.
Right.
And I think like, you know, it's kind of like that trauma that gets unlocked for you when you get older.
Yeah,
because you know, when you're in like that kind of pattern, like some, like, again, you, the psychological manipulation, like, you know, they tell you like, this is normal or this is, you know, this is like a special thing for us or something like that. And they use that as you grow up. And then eventually you get to a point where you're like, huh, something clicks.
Yeah.
And then you realize like, oh fuck, that wasn't normal.
Yeah.
Or this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And so like that kind of stuff breaks you.
Yeah.
Because like it also makes you feel guilty about like, well, why didn't I know, or why didn't I know any better? Or like just even just the pure shock of realizing what really happened, you know? And it's like there's a lot of mental things, like mental games that come with this, and it's like that's not always easy to handle.
Yeah.
And so, like, I will never hold any judgment against Amanda Bynes because, like, anytime her videos pop up, girl, I'm liking. I'm, like, liking or commenting. And, like, because she's just, honestly, like, just trying to live her best life.
Here's the thing. I will say, obviously, like, back when I was a child and Amanda Bynes was kind of going through this, I was saying, like, damn, that's wild. Why is she doing that? Like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would make comments like that. But, like, I now, as an adult, I don't hold judgment. First of all, I don't hold judgment over a lot of people.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a judgmental bitch, but certain things, like, and here's the thing. Sometimes people have like this, like, disconnect from like being kind to other people. So like homeless people and people on the streets, like people are just mean, you know. People are like, well, they're doing drugs because they want to do drugs. It's like, no, stop.
Yeah, it's like the root of people. It's like people are judgmental.
Yeah, like yes, he is doing drugs and he's continuing, and he's an addict, idiot. He's addicted. You don't know what got him to that point.
Yeah.
You don't know how many things had to go wrong for this person that potentially once upon a time had a home, had a car, had a job, had a family to finally get to that fucking point.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, it's wild that people are so disconnected and people are mean. And the fact that people are like, oh, like, I remember a few months ago, I think it was like Amanda Bynes had announced that she was going to be like a nail technician.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, like, why?
I saw comments that were like, and I think like also because she was taking a test and I think she had not passed.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, like you need to give it up and whatever. Yeah. And like, I'm just like I said, I always will like her shit and just be like, you know, she's for the most part, like she's kind of like trying to find like a path in life.
Yeah.
You know? Cause she was doing like a podcast,
yeah.
That she did for a little bit. She's doing like the nail thing and like, she's just trying to find like a path in life,
yeah.
You know? And like, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna support like whatever you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Because like the best thing that you can do is like, while somebody is, you know, going through whatever they're going through, like you can try to offer your support.
Yeah.
Where you can.
Yeah. And again, at the end of the day, you guys don't know her. You don't know what the fuck she's going through.
Right. Like, you know,
you don't know to what extent whatever happened at Nickelodeon
and
has damaged her.
PSA, it's also not your right to know.
Right.
You know, like that's her business to tell people.
Yeah.
When she's ready to tell people.
If
she's ever ready to tell people.
Yeah.
Because in order to, it's like with Drake on, you know, on the documentary, is that somebody telling the story is them choosing to have to actively relive the trauma.
Right.
Because that's not something that people just let go of.
Right.
Or can just be like, you know, tell it as if, you know, it's what you did with your friends last Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's not a fun time for people to describe.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, like, the trauma, like they kind of incorporate or like they get embedded with like the sensory of it.
Yeah.
So like sometimes there is like an aspect of it that they like just can't let go.
Yeah.
Whether it's like a feeling or like a smell or a sound.
Yeah.
Like, so like for to have somebody retell that.
Yeah.
It takes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have done like so much like self-healing and like understanding and being able to like express it.
Yeah.
So it is not anybody's fucking business to like try to pressure her or like ask her, because we know what we know now, and it's like that, you know,
that's
like,
enough.
You know, you like know, that yeah, say
I don't think there's in my mind, in my head, there's no question, there's no doubt that Dan Schneider is guilty of shit. In no
oh you mentioned this about no, how at the end of the episodes it would say like he denied and like, then what did he do?
Yeah, exactly. Hold on, before we move on to that, I just want to say this, you know, and even like her coming out and saying anything, think about it this way. Drake Bell said something, or somebody said something for him. Somebody spoke up for him, right? This was years ago. The guy got 18 months.
Brian Peck, yeah.
Got a slap in the hand, walked away, and continued to work in the industry. So how much of an incentive is it for, and I don't even want to say incentive, but like, why do you
like the cost, the worth,
right, of Amanda having to relive that just for the person who did the act or did whatever it is happened to her to get a slap in the hand and walk away?
Because then that would like lead to more press for her and be like give us more details, like tell us more what happened.
And right now, honestly, like what she went through and kind of what she went, like kind of like her spiral into whatever she went through was I feel like obviously like a defense mechanism, because people are like, well, just leave her alone. Like, she, you know, I hate to say the word crazy, but people would probably be like, you know what? She's crazy. Just leave her alone. Just walk away from her. And unfortunately, I feel like it might have been a defense mechanism. Like, hey, like maybe if I just look wild, like she doesn't even look like herself. I wonder how much of it is like, you know, like just her just not wanting to look at herself in the mirror and be like looking at the person that went through that trauma.
Yeah.
You know, and for people to sit here and like judge her, one, how she looks, two, how she is trying to get back into somewhat of a normal life.
Because she also got let go from, or like, you know, she finally got out of her conservatorship, which like she had like Britney Spears, you know, with her parents and like parents managing money and
exactly
all this stuff. So like that's also something that she had to get out of too.
Again, in the words of Wendy Williams, prison to the parents, death like to
death
all of them.
To the fans.
Because like same thing.
Like clap if you think they should suffer.
Right. Like honestly, like Britney's parents deserve jail.
I mean, Amanda, that's why her dad,
like, Amanda Bynes, went,
didn't her dad get like some illness or like some infection or something?
Like karma. He didn't go to jail, but he got karma.
Yeah.
You know, and Amanda Bynes' parents deserve some kind of jail, some kind of consequence for what they did.
Yeah.
You know, because again, how much did they turn away and not pay attention to in
had you heard about her like secret Twitter account?
Yeah.
Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, there's that like secret Twitter account.
That she had like an account like that wasn't under her parents.
Yeah.
Because her main account was under her parents.
Yeah.
Because of the conservatorship.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she had this Twitter account called, it was under Ashley Banks.
Yeah.
And she put like her ID, she uploaded a picture of her ID and be like, you know, it is me, I'm talking. And like some of the stuff on there is like, man, like, whew. Like, there was a statement in there that she tweeted, and it was like, oh, like, imagine having to get an abortion at 13 because your boss impregnated you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's like, if, you know, if that is true, if that, like, really was her,
mm-hmm.
and, like, that was, like, what actually happened, it's like, you can't blame her for, like, what she went through.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, again, it's like this is kind of like a cycle that we just see often in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I said, like, you know, Lindsay Lohan, like how many people were like dragging the fuck out of Lindsay Lohan,
mm-hmm.
you know, once she kind of got out of her like Disney stint or her Disney era, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she started going through a lot of stuff on her own as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like people were like dragging her.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, again, it's like people like you don't know.
Yeah. And it's like, just, you know, leave her alone. And again, like, if Amanda doesn't want to say nothing, like, again, Drake Bell says something. And unfortunately,
or even other people, like, you know, there are other people like of the cast, or not of that cast, but like other Nickelodeon, like mm-hmm. cast members, like people on like Victorious and iCarly and all of this stuff. It's like they had their own trauma. And again, it's like it's people. If they're willing to like go through their trauma and be able
I'll say
to like
this.
Tell that.
If someone has the courage to speak up about it, support them. Listen to them. If someone doesn't want, and again, I hate to use the word courage because then it's saying that people that don't speak up don't have the courage.
Yeah.
But if people decide, I guess if people choose to say something, support them. I want to say that. If people choose not to say something, support them as well.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. Let them deal with however they want to deal with, because like, you don't know what happened. Don't open your mouth. And, you know, at this point, Amanda's just trying to do her thing, and that's it.
Yeah.
She doesn't owe anybody anything, you know, and that's it. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, if she were to want to say something, I'm pretty sure she's looking at like, well, look at what happened with Drake Bell. Nothing really got done. So what's the point now?
Yeah.
You know, to relive all that for herself, just for Dan Schneider to get a slap in the hand and walk away.
Yeah.
But he did like that's what I was going to get into next. at the end of every episode, they would put, like, we talked to Dan. Here's what he had to say.
Like, he didn't have any input on salaries.
He never had anything. He had nothing to do. Dan Schneider was just washing his hands, saying he didn't have no input on salary. He never abused anybody. Blah, 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 blah.
Denies
allegations. All this and this and that. All this is hearsay. Bitch, just to turn around a few days later, fucking do an interview with one of his workers, one of his people.
Okay. Not to, like, diminish, like, whoever, like, okay, I know who that guy is. He was one of the actors from iCarly, yeah, but, like, a side character. And it's kind of, it to me, in any way, kind of, like, not that they had to, but I'm, like, it's, like, well, clearly you couldn't even get your main actors because it's, like, you fucking, you, like, manipulated them and you fucking, like, you know,
yeah,
like, abused them to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, girl, like, of course, like, your main, the main, like, you may, it makes it look worse from my perspective.
Not only that, but it's also a male actor.
That too.
Again, going based off what the pattern we saw on the documentary, he was okay to most male actors. Of course, the people of color kind of got some of Dan, but then for the most part, most of the bad and, like, stuff that Dan did show was for the female cast, for the female workers, for the female anything, like, in general, right? I mean, they even said in the documentary, Drake Bell said how, like, Dan Schneider reached out to Drake him. About, yeah, like, the whole thing going down. But it's, like, in my head, I was, like, how much of it was genuine? How much of it was, like, him also feeling like, oh, shit, like, they came for him?
Kind of like, how much do you know?
Yeah, they're going to come for me, because if we're going based off what Amanda is saying, if he did do any kind of abuse towards her, like, shit's about to hit the fan. I'm about to go here. So let me make, how much of it was, like, to kind of help himself? Because then someone can come to his aid and be like, no, like, I know Dan Schneider. He was there for me when this went down. And you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Also, the actors that came to Brian Peck's defense.
Oh, yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
But anyways, Dan Schneider sat his fat ass there, said, none of this is true, and then sits there and says, never mind, I am, you know what, I was a terrible person, I've turned over a new leaf, this and this and that, it's done for.
Yeah.
Baby, no. Bullshit. Fuck you, never get to work, fuck off, don't want him. If he ever tries to step foot in Hollywood, people need a riot, people need to stop this, people, like, need to,
everybody needs to keep their fucking foot on
his fucking
Dan
neck
Schneider's neck
until he goes to fucking jail, because he deserves jail.
Yeah.
The minimum thing he deserves is jail. That's what I'm going to say.
You're like, minimum.
Minimum. Does he deserve other shit that kind of happened to Britney Spears' dad? Probably. He deserves a lot of the shit he deserves.
Yeah.
He deserves a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Jail is bare minimum.
Yeah.
Bare minimum. And, but I think that, yeah, just, it's bullshit for you to sit there and deny those, like, to me,
and
it's
no, it was, okay, typical white apology, because it was kind of also giving, like, Lea Michele, Noah Schnapp type shit.
Yeah.
The pattern continues, bitch, because it was, like, there was apologies, and they're like, oh, I apologize if I made somebody feel
exactly
this type of way. I apologize if I did. You know, so it's, yeah, like, again,
if you took it this way,
you're not. Yeah, I was like, it's very Lea Michele, but, like, you know, she's like, you know, like, I'm sorry if I made anybody, you know, if I made them feel some type of way, like,
that wasn't my intention.
Yeah, that wasn't my intention. Like,
no,
bitch, shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Like, that is, like, the typical apology to, like, yeah, let go of. You're not taking accountability.
Yeah,
because you're not calling out the specific action. Like, that makes, yeah, you unaware of what specific thing you did,
yeah,
to warrant that reaction from somebody. It's like, yeah, somebody's not reacting, like, on a circumstantial situation.
And here's the thing. Even then, in his apology, he kind of did admit to certain things. But I'm like, doesn't matter. You denied him back then. Like, now you want to say you did it?
Yeah.
It's
like, are you going to pay the wages that should have been paid to the women,
right,
who were splitting a salary? Are you going to, like, pay... You know, they probably maybe went to therapy. Shit, I don't know. But, like, there was some mental damage there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the damage has already been done.
Yeah.
Like, what can you really do about it? The time of action was, like, in that moment.
Yeah.
Or, like, around the time of
and
that
again,
moment.
Not saying no one can change and not saying people can't fix their wrongs. But at this point, for you to try to go back to writing, to anything, no. You need to find a different career. You're done with Hollywood. You need to
get away from kids.
You're done with Hollywood. In my eyes, you're done with Hollywood. Doesn't matter whether you're doing adult shows, kid shows, you're done with Hollywood. You shouldn't be allowed to do any of things.
Yeah.
Because even if you're not working with kids, you can still abuse the women in the workplace. So, no. You're out of Hollywood. You no longer should be able to work. I don't know how people have higher standards for, like, you know, typical people. Like,
there's higher standards for a retail job.
Right.
They're like, no tattoos. No prior convictions, no misdemeanors.
Right.
Even if you have like a, you know, like a nonviolent crime, bitch, or something.
Even a whisper of you having some kind of bad to you could potentially put you.
Bitch, in, they'll be like, there's 6 months gap here between like your last job and this one.
Do you want to talk about what happened?
Yeah. Like, why? Why? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
Like, they.
No.
Shut up.
So, yeah, no. You want to hold other people accountable and or like, you know, just regular people to a higher standard, but these people that have control over people's lives, over people's livelihood, over people's anything.
People who control the whole area.
Right. And you don't want to have... Fuck off. Fuck off. Dan Schneider, fuck off, bro. Fuck off. Yeah. Fuck your apology. Fuck the guy that did the interview. Fuck everybody else who fucking stayed quiet because all of y'all enabled this man to continue to do the shit that he did. And fuck everybody. And fuck all the parents that allowed that shit to happen because all of y'all are fucking to blame. So fuck y'all.
You know, so y'all Franco will be sitting here and watching the dismantling of Hollywood.
Honestly, go for it.
I mean, it's happening already.
It's happening. Girl, P. Diddy has fled the country. He fled, mama.
He's escaped.
He's escaped. He's escaping.
You know, it also like just so we end really quick, like it just reminds me of like the whole like have you seen J-Lo getting absolutely fucking dragged through the mud, through the pits.
I've said it before.
She is going through it, honey.
I've said it before, honey. I do not like J-Lo. Personally, I don't know.
Gasp. Everybody gasp.
Personally, I don't know the hoe. Never knew her. Don't care to know her.
But like, I loved her in Selena, but that's it.
Sure. She only had, and this is the thing that all Latinos always say, she only had a career because of Selena. And people are like, well, what about Anaconda? Literally, Anaconda came after Selena. Okay.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
So don't sit there and act like she had her big break.
Which, let's not act like Anaconda was
a blockbuster.
A blockbuster. It was camp.
Okay. Sure. That's kind of a stretch, but sure. I mean, it was a good movie. Yeah. You know, was it a blockbuster hit that shot her to like, get all these roles? Yeah. No.
She's been like going through it because like you've seen that clip of her looking in the mirror,
her
like
messed up hair.
Shook up hair.
Yeah.
Shake and go.
The shake and go wig. Uh-huh.
And was like, you know,
this is the hair I used to wear at the Bronx.
Yeah. This hair reminds me of like when I was 16 in the Bronx running up and down the block.
Yeah. Because she's Jenny from the block. But turns out she's not Jenny from the block.
No.
She's Jenny from the private Catholic school.
Yeah. So I think people are just getting sick of like being like disingenuous and just being like, because she's, I think, kind of just been like one of those people that's like, look at me being all glam and like, she's like very like diva, very like, like, you know, so it's like, it's clearly it hasn't changed. And so people are just like, you know what, J-Lo, like, we're kind of tired of this.
I came across this girl's TikTok. I was like, I'm tired of her. Like, she literally, I've let her live her life. I let her live her truth. But this is the truth. Like, she was not running up and down the streets of the Bronx.
Yeah.
She went to a Catholic school.
People from, like, New York. I've seen a lot of people from New York.
Nobody claims her.
Like, they don't claim her. And they, like, I've seen TikToks where, like, people are like, you know, she's like, she doesn't give back to her community.
Yeah.
Like, if she claims the Bronx, but then, like, never does anything to actually, like, show love for it. Like, I think schools and such have like reached out to her and be like, hey, you know, can you donate or make a donation to the school?
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're not gonna be here for that. Like, you know, it's like, again, done with Hollywood. Year of truth, man. So in case anybody else out there wants to learn a little bit more about what's upcoming in the Year of Truth, go watch Cat Williams' interview.
Yeah.
And you'll probably see, like, get a glimpse of, like, okay, what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, shit's hitting the fan. Shit's getting real.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like I said, it's only 3 months into the fucking year, bitch. And all this shit is happening.
Yeah.
And
just wait for it to unravel.
Just wait for it to unravel. I mean, there's a lot of things happening in Hollywood, in our world even, you know, with TikTok ban and all this crazy shit. Like, it's just wild.
Yeah.
Shit is wild. So right now, what needs to happen is people just need to keep having their foot on those people's necks. Yeah. Don't let these motherfuckers breathe.
You know, foot on the neck of everything.
Of everything. Of everyone. Everyone. Like, Hollywood, our government. Politicians, our government, like, everybody. Put their fucking foot on their neck and don't let them fucking breathe, because these motherfuckers are just wild.
Yeah. I think we're due for, like, such a big systematic change.
Change, yeah.
And I, like, it's kind of crazy to, like, see it happening before our eyes.
Bitch, I don't want to be alive.
Bitch, every sociologist right now is, like, gagged.
They're having orgasms,
These next 4 years, those sociology degrees are about to be in use, honey.
I was about to say.
The macro changes and the micro changes of society.
I was about to say, all these people that got their sociology degrees, because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Y'all about to put that shit to use, y'all.
Right. But, like, tell us where we're going, because you're probably going to be the first in the know, because historically, they've probably seen, like,
you've studied the pattern
of behaviors of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, tell us where we're heading. Like, you know what? That's where I'm going to. Let me start. Franco, we're going to log off this show, and we're going to go, like, hit up people or see people. Like, anybody have a sociology degree? Like, tell us where we're going.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, tune in for the dismantling of Hollywood.
Exactly.
Who knows where we'll be in another 3 months? Mm-hmm. We'll see who's, like, fleeing the country next.
Yeah, right. Who's on their private jet fleeing somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this, you know, more.
discussion of. You know, it was some very heavy topics, but, you know, this is something that, I mean, you know, we are millennials, and a lot of people who listen to our podcast are also millennials, or, like, Gen Z, people who grew up around, like, nostalgia and Nickelodeon and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I know it's been something of interest of people, like, to kind of, like, talk about and discuss right now. And we wanted to talk about it as well, just to kind of, like, you know, like, we work with kids, and, like, this is also, like, nostalgia too for us. And it was just kind of, like, such a revelation to see and witness that, you know, we just kind of wanted to bring it here just to, like, kind of, like, put it out there and just talk about, like, the bigger picture of things and, like, how things should change and improve.
Yeah.
Because, again, the system's never been perfect. It's not perfect. It's not really good at protecting kids. And everybody who kind of has been a kid has kind of seen that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's been a kid, but
yeah.
Yeah. So that was just something, you know, important that we wanted to discuss. So, you know, we thank you guys very much for listening. As always, if you're listening to us, we hope that you can give us 5 stars as a rating wherever you're listening, whether that's on Apple or Spotify, just to help put us out there, get the podcast out, and grow with more queers and peers to listen to our discussions like this.
Yeah. Leave us a review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like of the podcast. Follow us on the socials at Closet Takes Podcast on Instagram.
At Closet Takes Pod on Twitter.
On Threads at Closet Takes Podcast.
And on TikTok at Closet Takes Podcast.
Mm-hmm. We're now on TikTok, bitches. So go follow us. Go interact with us. You know, send us a message wherever you feel.
Send us a DM on every site.
Yeah. On Grindr. Oh, bitch. 15 years of Grindr.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'll say not the Closet Takes Grindr page coming soon.
Right.
Like, if you see us,
we're in a town near you, performing in an alley.
Stop. All right, queers and peers. On that, we are out of here. So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you guys on the next episode.
Goodbye.
Bye.